Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
These pork chops, they really represent the taste of the heritage breeds that we raise. And it's just absolutely mouth-watering, delectable, just exquisite flavor. And that's where it comes through, is in the pork chops.
Today's guest is Johnny Gary. Johnny is the owner of Organic Matters Ranch. And we're going to talk today about pastured pork. What is pastured pork, Johnny?
Pastured pork refers to a production system of producing hogs, usually on small scale, usually on small family farms. And it refers to several components. One is habitat. Pigs are raised outdoors on the grass and under the sun. And the second is a dietary component of raising pigs. There is an actual contribution that forages and pasture grasses can make to the hog's diet.
And that's just one component of what they eat, is eating the actual grasses.
That's right. They're not sustained or grown entirely on just pasture alone.
How much land do you devote for the pigs in your operation?
Well, it's always a kind of a moving target. But right now, suffice it to say that with the moves I have just behind me for, say, the last month, and then the moves scheduled ahead of me, there's probably like 3 acres in production. So you're always kind of moving along and offering the pigs fresh pasture and to get out of their waste and off the ground that they had been on previously.
How many pigs do you have?
Right now, 15. I have 9 breeders right now, and then there's 6 growers, just hogs that I'm raising up, actually all scheduled for wedding events this summer. And that's down from 80. We just got rid of all of our piglets. We sold them all off and took a big batch of market hogs to the butcher.
Do you think there are more people raising pigs now? Is that why you're able to sell the piglets so easily?
I really think so. Either that or there's a shortage of supply. But I sold 40 piglets this spring at a really good price, and I could have sold more. I sold out.
Wow. And what breed of pig do you raise?
I raise 2 different breeds and crosses between them. One is called the Large Black Hog, and the other one's called the Tamworth. They're both old European breeds with what they call old world genetics and old world flavor.
Yeah, that's different from the few varieties that are bred commercially these days.
That's right. These breeds that I raise kind of miss the boat on the real targeted breeding programs that the industry used to produce these really fast-growing hogs that were really lean. So the pigs that I grow a little slower. They actually do well in my production system outdoors. They're real hardy. They retain a lot of the great instincts that you want for mothering, maternal instinct. They also take a little slower, as I said, but they also taste a little better. The fattiness is still there, so the cuts marble more like a beef cut.
What do the pigs eat besides the pasture that they are introduced to?
Well, our main business is a vegetable truck farm, you may say, a produce growing operation, and we grow 40 acres of produce. And so that's how I originally got into raising pigs, was that, you know, I thought, got all the seconds and surplus and spoilage and stuff from, you know, predominantly a vegetable growing operation, the brassica family and lettuce and peas and spinach and all kinds of, you know, coastal vegetables. And I thought I'd start packing this to the pigs. We raised a couple pigs just for myself and friends and family for the year. And that goes along just fine. And it still does. It's a significant contribution to their diet. But as it turns out, you can't put a lot of weight on hogs with lettuce. Uh-huh. It's mostly water. Imagine that. So I learned that pretty quickly. So we also, there's purchase inputs. I purchase organic grain from a local feed store. And then there's collected inputs, which hopefully are usually free. There's a couple of sources. I don't want to tell everyone about them on the radio here, because then they'll be after them too. But bread sources and protein sources from local industries, food waste products that I can take advantage of.
Okay. When did you first start raising pigs? It's just been a couple of years now?
About 4 years now before I brought my first 2 little wiener pigs home. And again, you know, I was just trying to grow some pigs up on a ton of pumpkins we had at the time and just roots. And I thought, gosh, you know, I can't eat all this. So let's put it to some hogs and see what we can do. And that started a little love affair. I think that'll last my whole life.
Uh-huh. And where are your pigs processed?
Initially, they are killed and scalded, you know, and eviscerated at Redwood Meats in Eureka. And that's a federally inspected, USDA inspected kill floor.
And then who do you sell the pigs to, or who's your market for the pigs?
We have a couple different main marketing avenues. One is to restaurants. I want to give credit to La Trattoria in Sunnybrae. They are on their fourth one in a calendar year. They're going through them. They're serving them at the restaurant. Other restaurants have bought them from me. Individuals for their families and friends, or for wedding events. I'm selling a bunch of hogs for pit roast type celebrations, be they wedding or cultural celebrations and what have you. And then if they're not marketed in those ways initially, we take them to tailors and they further process them down into retail-ready individual cuts, be they just raw cuts, you know, pork chops, loins, roast, etc., or process further cuts, hams, bacons, and cured meat products like that. They're an inspected facility for taking your pork and making, you know, value-added products like that and being allowed to retail them. So we do that at the farmers markets that we participate in all around the county, and then at a roadside stand as well.
And it's interesting, too, because you actually allow your sows to breed, have the whole cycle going on at the farm. That's a little different than a lot of the places that I've talked to where they just buy the piglets every year.
That's right. Call me old-fashioned, but I still believe in things the way that nature intended. We have a couple boars, unrelated boars, then a herd of five breeding sows. And so twice a year, we put, you know, combinations of those together. So your sow will breed twice a year and have, you know, on average a litter of 10 piglets. You know, it can range 8 to 12. But that'll give you 20 piglets from one sow in a year. It's just amazing, the breeding. So from five sows, I can get 100 piglets a year.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, a couple years ago when I started with a breeding herd of five, it's only a couple years later where, you know, you can have 80 all of a sudden if you, uh-huh, if you keep enough of them.
So do you butcher any of the pigs on your farm for your own personal use?
Yeah, we do. It's something I'm not very experienced at, but I've done a couple, and I'm looking forward to continuing to do that just for myself. It helps you talk to the butcher better if you've done it yourself and you know, kind of the anatomy of the animal, and if you've been through it, you can educate the butcher, and you can educate your consumer better about the difference in your cuts and stuff, too.
Yeah, I was just bought a half a pig from the College of the Redwoods farm, and I was there when it was butchered, and it was like a whole new experience to me because I didn't really know where those cuts of meat were coming from until I saw it happen.
Yes.
And it's a totally different experience.
Right.
And so you've just gotten into starting to cure your own meats. What's that been like?
It's been fun. I'm really enjoying it. I actually made some mistakes. I oversalted some bacon so bad. I had to soak it to make it edible. But I followed an old world recipe that, you know, back in the day, they didn't have refrigeration. So, of course, if you're going to have a pocket of salted pork as you rode across the plains, you were going to put a lot of salt.
You want to make sure that, yeah, thoroughly salted.
So these days, though, with refrigeration, you can go a little lighter on that. But I'm just having fun with that. That's non-commercial. That's uh-huh, just for my own entertainment, really.
Uh-huh. And what's your favorite way to prepare some of the pork that you've raised?
My favorite way, hands down, is the pork chops, and the reason being we have them cut thin. I can actually like them thin or thick, but these pork chops, they really represent the taste of the heritage breeds that we raise. They have the little rim of fat on the outside and the couple little striations of fat that kind of penetrate the meat and around the bone and stuff, and you know, it's unadulterated with any other flavor. You can bread it and just pan fry it 5 mm-hmm, minutes aside, and it comes out just so incredible. As opposed to, you know, you can take any pork and make good bacon out of it, you know, or good sausage or whatever, because you have the seasonings and,
right,
and the salting and the
flavor,
smoking and the curing and stuff. Well, on the contrary, our pork chops are just pork, and it's just the breed we raise, and it's just absolutely mouth-watering, delectable, just exquisite flavor, and that's where it comes through, is in the pork chops.
Okay, now that we're all hungry for pork chops, how can people get a hold of your pork chops?
We can be found at the Arcata Plaza Market on Saturdays. We're sort of on the north side of the plaza, like on the bar strip side of the plaza for now. And then, of course, all the weekday markets start up soon. And then we have a roadside farm stand on Myrtle Avenue where our ranch is. And that's at 6781 Myrtle Avenue, kind of in the freshwater area.
Is that every day?
No, that'll be on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays this year from 12 to 6.
Okay, well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Johnny Gary about pastured pork. Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.